And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. This past year, I played racquetball with a young man almost 20 years younger than I, young businessman, a man who seemed to have life in his pocket. Life was together, a yuppie type person. I'll call him Chuck. While we were playing racquetball, this particular young man, even though he seemed to have life together at first, went through a very trying time in his life. He got a divorce. He finally moved away. And life just began to crumble. And instead of our regular time to play racquetball at noon over lunch, we began meeting for lunch and talking because he wanted to talk, and that was obvious. And so we met. And during that year's time, through our talking together, Chuck came to know Christ. He was a person who thought that he had life all together, but he discovered that he really didn't have life together, and it began to crumble in his hands. And then he made the wonderful discovery of John 1:16. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. He thought that he had fullness of life. Now, many people try to find fullness of life in many different ways. Perhaps this morning there are some of you who are struggling, and what you're struggling for is to squeeze some kind of happiness out of your life. You want fullness of life. But if you really got down to it, you would have to say, I don't have it. You see, most of us, if not many of us, seek our fullness of life out of our marriages. Now, marriage is good. God made it, and it's the second most important relationship that you will ever have in your life. The first and most important is God. But many people try to find their fullness of life out of their wives or from their husbands. But I want to warn you, if you're looking there, you're going to be disappointed again. You see, that's what Chuck thought that he could do. Now, some people try to find fullness of life out of their jobs, out of their careers. But do you know, I read an alarming statistic this past August in a magazine. It said this, that if our careers are so satisfying, then why is it that on the average, an individual, man or woman, will change jobs or careers 8 times before he dies? And did you know that your job, that the average length of employment in our country is a little over 3 years for any particular job? But there are people, and maybe you're one of them. Maybe you've been trying to find your fullness of life out of your career and out of your job or out of your marriage. But still, there are others who try to find fullness of life out of accumulating stuff. I mean material things, getting and having and possessing and getting bigger and more. But Ecclesiastes, wise King Solomon said in chapter 5, verse 10, a person who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its increase. You love money? When will you have enough? You want to tell me? There's not a man, woman, or child here in this sanctuary who can say they've got enough. Because everybody, you get a little bit, and you think, well, I can use this here. Oh, but if I had just a little bit more, then I could do this. And it goes on and on and on. And so fullness of life does not come either through your marriage or your career, your job, or through accumulating stuff. But in our opening study in the Gospel of John, the Apostle John shows us how to experience fullness of life. And that is being united to the Lord Jesus Christ. For you can look all your life and you can pour yourself into your possessions and you can pour yourself into your career. But I want to tell you now, the search is over. Jesus Christ. Union with Jesus Christ is that which can give you fullness of life and nothing else. I said nothing else will give you fullness of life. Stop your search right here today. I say the Apostle John shows us the secret to fullness of life, and that is being united to Christ. In the what is called the prologue to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, this introduction to the Gospel is normally used to demonstrate some great theological truths. As important as those truths are, they should be emphasized. I mean, the first chapter of John, these verses show us the pre-existence of Christ. Don't you read in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. What is that? In the beginning of time. Not just in the beginning of creation, in the beginning of time. There was Christ, His pre-existence. And the other theological truth we read in John chapter 1 about the incarnation, about the divinity of Christ, about the humanity of Christ, about the person of Christ, about the work of Christ. All of those are important. And John 1 has been often used to support these great theological truths. And they should be. But the purpose of John 1, and indeed the entire Gospel of John, is not to teach theology. His purpose is to show us that Jesus Christ is life, and only as we are related to Him will we have fullness of life. And of His fullness, we have all received grace for grace. That's John. That is the purpose of John chapter 1. And that is what he intends us to show us here. And in just three little words, he shows us the purpose of John. Look over in the first chapter, in the first verse. The first word that he uses to describe the person of Christ. He is showing how Christ is the key to fullness of life. And these three words demonstrate how Christ is, and how Christ can give you and me fullness of life. And the first word is the word, Word. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 he says, and the Word became flesh. Who is he talking about? He is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the Word. What is the purpose of communication, of using words? We all communicate by using words, don't we? Send a missionary to the mission field. What is the first thing they have to do? They have to learn the language in order to speak in the words that the people can understand. If I were to say the word pen, I don't mean P-I-N, but P-E-N, what do you think of? If I said the word pen, what do you think of? Well, some of you perhaps think of a red pen. Some of you may think of a regular pen, ink pen. Some may think of a ballpoint pen. Some of you have pens with your initials or names inscribed on it. Some use different kinds of pens. The point is that when I say the word pen, something comes to your mind, an image of pen. Now follow me. If I said the word God, what do you think of? Well, most of you have been raised in this church, and most of you are Christians, so you know most of the right answers or what to think of when you think of God. But suppose you were a Buddhist. Suppose you were Hindu. Suppose you were some other religion. And I said the word God. What you would think of is whatever came into your imagination. But you think of God, you think of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is called the Word. What is the function of a word? A word reveals something. So that the function of Jesus Christ in being called the Word was to reveal God. Do you know that you and I could not really know God if it were not for Jesus Christ coming and revealing and showing us who He is? We would be left up to our own imagination. We would be worshiping stones and images and idols or whatever. We wouldn't be worshiping the God who is invisible. It took Jesus Christ to come into the flesh, and that is why He's called the Word. Jesus Christ declares or reveals God. He's called the Word. Because after God has said what He has had to say in Christ, the Word, what else is there to say? You see? Have you often wondered why we don't have special revelation anymore? I mean, why God doesn't reveal Himself speaking to people? I know what some people say, like the occultic practitioners and Gene Dixon and some brands of other types of Protestant Christianity. But we believe that God has revealed Himself and the Word of God is complete. And that kind of special revelation that God used in inspiring the Word is over. Why? Because of this, when He revealed Jesus Christ, what else could He say? You see, Jesus Christ is the Word. And if you know Him, and if you read the Word that is written, you have everything you need to live life. Everything, every decision, every problem that you face, whether it's business, whether it's school, whether it's in the home, friends, there is not a problem or a concern that you have that God has not already spoken to. And He spoke to us in Jesus Christ, who is called the Word, but He's also called something else. Look down in verse 4. The second word that John uses is this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I think we all know what the function of light is. It is to dispel darkness. We come into a dark room and we turn on a light and the darkness is dispelled. Now behind this analogy in John 1:4, in Him was life and the light was the light of men, is the idea that all men are in darkness. that you and I are basically in darkness like Chuck. The illustration that I gave you earlier, he thought he had life. He said he thought he had life by the tail and that he could work it out himself and everything was going well until it crumbled and he realized that he was in darkness and he didn't have light or life. When I was a little boy, we lived on a farm part of the time. It was farmland. We didn't farm, but it was way out in the sticks down in Livingston. I mean, you travel on a dirt road to get to my driveway, and the driveway was a dirt road, and you passed a pond off to the right where my brothers would shoot turtles off the logs, and then we'd come to this old country house. And I used to be horrified by something that my relatives would do, and that is, they would, you know, how to wring a chicken's neck. Have you ever seen it done? Many of you have. Anyway, my uncle, you grab the chicken and you begin to twirl it around, okay, and his neck stretches. And then at a certain point, you snap it. You know what happens? He loses his head. And there I am, you know, 3-4 years old, looking at this. But you know the amazing thing is that chicken is not dead yet. Have you ever seen, you ever heard the phrase, I'm running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Do you know what a chicken does when you cut off his head? I'm sorry, this is not a violent R-rated sermon. A chicken will continue to run with no head. And I would watch that those chickens, they would bump up against the fence and run into trees. And it was just pitiful. I felt so bad for those chickens. My point is this, without the fullness, without Jesus Christ and being in union with Jesus Christ, you don't have a head. You're running around like a chicken with its head cut off, bumping into this and bumping into that and trying this. It's no accident that Paul calls Jesus Christ the head of the body. So he is the head. In that sense, he is also the light. It is in him that we see. As we studied in Psalm earlier, in your light we see light. Now there's a third word that I want us to focus on, which is really not a word. We looked at the word word to describe Christ, his person, and we looked at the word light, which tells us what Christ does. That's the function of Christ. But now I want you to look at a contrast that John makes in verse 17. He says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." I think all of us have some idea of what the law, the purpose of the law was. The purpose of the law was to show us what is wrong with us. All right? It's like going to the doctor for an x-ray. You stand up there, put your chin up on that cold thing, and then they take an x-ray, and all the x-ray can show you is what is wrong. No x-ray cured anybody. But it tells you what is wrong. Moses, the law of God, can show you what is wrong with you. But if you try to live by the law of God, you'll never have fullness of life. Now, I don't mean that you shouldn't obey the law of God when you become a Christian. I'm talking about obeying the law of God in order to experience salvation. you have to know Christ and come to know Him as your Savior, but you cannot come to know Him by simply obeying the law. Because the law can show you what's wrong, but it's not the cure. Yesterday, we were visiting up at Horsepins 40 for their gala craft show, and I go to eat. And we saw some frames, picture frames that had different sayings and scripture verses and things like that. And one of them said something like, "You live a good life." This was on the plaque. "You live a good life. You do what you ought to. You go to Sunday school and church. And when you die, you go to Alabama." Well, I don't think that meant the university, though, Albert. The point is, no matter what we do, no matter how good we are, how many Sunday schools we go to, how many churches we go to, and how many good works, and we can sweat to try to do everything that is right and good, but there is only one way you can experience salvation, and that is in verse 17, "But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Good. Obey the law and do what is good and right as a sense of thankfulness to God in order to prove that you are a Christian. I mean, if you have no desire to walk in obedience to the law of God, then I think you ought to rethink where you are as a Christian. And the Bible is just filled with the commands of obedience in order to make full proof of our salvation. Filled. God didn't just reveal one sentence that said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," but He filled a whole book, 66 books, all of which contain instructions on how to live. Now, if you're not walking according to the blue plan, the blueprint, and if you're not seeking, if it's not your desire to live for Christ and walk in obedience to Him, then beloved, think again. It should be our desire. Yes, I hope it is for you. Jesus Christ is the cure. He not only gives us life, but fullness of life. For He says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Christ came to give you life. "Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." What is the fullness of life? It is on the one hand eternal life, and on the second hand it is fullness of life now. Maybe some of you, maybe you're not even struggling. Maybe you don't have enough spirituality to know that you're struggling. But maybe some of you do know. And maybe you know that you are investing your life in the wrong place, in your career, in material things, in other people. "Of His fullness we have all received." And John couldn't think of another word to say. He just became so filled, so overwhelmed with the thought of the fullness of Christ, he couldn't think of another rational sentence to explain it. And then he just says, "And grace for grace." That this fullness of life being united to Jesus Christ is so great and so wonderful. The only way you can describe it is grace for grace. Well, there's an invitation that the Lord Jesus gives us here through the Apostle John in verse 12. He says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Searching for fullness of life, trying to squeeze some happiness and joy and pleasure, trying to get the full life to taste the fruit and delight yourself in it. Of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. What about you this morning? Have you tasted this grace? Do you know this fullness of Christ? Let's pray.